You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As always, I ask you to go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in if they live right here in the Philadelphia tri-state area. And if not, they can listen live on the internet simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And when you go to American Workers Radio, you'll see that we have the Debt Clock, the Million Man Job Project. We have the National Small Business Weekend, and you'll also see Mark Andel. And by the way, he also has a new, the All American Grill, which I would like you to check out his website. It's a very nice presentation that Mark is doing. He does a lot of good stuff. In fact, I got an email this morning about a particular report that they did in the New York area showing how much of the stuff is foreign made, even being sold by our nation's distributors and also by all of the people that are working for the different travel bureaus and all. They simply have a job and they don't care about Americans any way, which way. Well, if you received our email as well, please go to your computer and email our link to a family members and friends so that they'll be able to join in and also know what's going on. We have one of the best groups of people listen to our show. Everywhere I go, people tell me they like what they hear from Mark, Larkin, and Andel. And I want to tell you something, Rich, you are also a very, very well-loved and respected man. And my thanks to Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer, who always does his best to make sure the show is ready to go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to say to you many times in the last few weeks, as I watched what's going on in the election for president, I thought, well, this could be the time that we could have four front runners for president be on the ballot in November. We talked about having three or four parties, and I thought, well, you know, this might be the time because they all have a lot to say, and maybe we could have a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent, or a National Constitution Party. This could be the beginning of the four-party system in America. We already know what the people have to offer, and when it comes time for the election in November, then we would really have a chance. And there would be no, you know, third party only. They would say it would be a spoiler. You'd have four parties and really be able to have a sort of a direction to where the people want to go, having four people to choose from. We see that each one of them is getting states and delegates, and it's really going very well. Unfortunately, guys, I don't know what you're going to tell me about that four-party system, but I'm going to listen, and we'll begin today with Mark Andel. Tell me what's happening there in Buffalo, New York, and tell us about that report that was on your news.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike, and guys, and the listeners? Welcome. Well, it's cold in Buffalo. You know, we had about an 8-degree low yesterday, so winter's back in April here, and they're blaming me, Mike.
Yeah, I know. I heard that on our news yesterday, and I thought of you. They said, wow, there was a cold blast. Hit Buffalo. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we got a couple inches on the ground. Crazy weather, but it'll come. Buffalo, if you want a different weather, just wait a minute. You know, it changes quick. But, yeah, you know, Mike, you brought up the interview last week came along for our TV2. TV2 is our number one station here at WGR. And they did an interview. A lady went to the Angola stop on our thruway, on our 90 that crosses through Buffalo, and went to the service station and went to their store that's, ran by New York. And they picked up a bumper sticker, and she wasn't happy that it was made over in China or overseas. So she went to the TV station, and that generated a reporter to come out, and they thought of us first, which was a great in a way. And she came and interviewed me last Friday, and basically their point was, if New York is supporting jobs and livelihoods and believes in the local economy, why are they selling foreign goods? Now, she picked specifically on bumper stickers, shot glasses, souvenir items. So she had asked me, you know, of course I told her, you know, our story, and she had known about us, but she said, could you get these products? I said, let me show you these products. So I showed her a bumper sticker, a shot glass, or a magnet, and she used that in the interview, of course. They did about three different interviews. We hit 12 o'clock, or 5 o'clock news, 6 o'clock, and 11. So it was great. And her point, you know, I had said it can be done. We're proof of it. We've got a distribution house. They could even buy their products through us. So it was a great angle from our top TV station to include us, and to this lady, compliments to her, Mike. She had brought up that she wasn't happy with New York State's shops along the freeway selling these foreign goods. So
I think it
was awesome.
And, you know, Mark, we have that right here in historic Philadelphia, and a number of times I've complained. But they do have their suppliers, and of course, the people who come in and grease your palm the right way are the people who always will get that business. They try to just make the label so small that you need three magnifying glasses to see it. But the one thing I thought was very good in the report, and I asked Henry if he would be able to link that up there today, I thought it was great. It's only like 2 minutes, but very, very well done, is the fact that the girl said, start looking at labels before you buy. That's what I really like, because that's the biggest message I'm getting from everybody.
Yeah, you know, and this compliments that lady. You know, she had the gumption to take that bumper sticker to our local TV station down in the city and cause this. You know, that's somebody raising awareness, educating people, and making change and using the media to make the change. And I got asked to do another interview yesterday that's going to come out in June, but this was on – they're doing an article on making purchase decisions according to your values, local, organic, environmentally friendly, USA-made morals and actions of a company, rather than just buying items based on price or convenience alone. And I thought that was interesting. That's kind of what we're asking. We're asking people to think a little, you know, take a little longer, look at what you're buying, you know, buy quality, and really know where that dollar's going. So this is all kind of related and ties to what we do on this show, so I think it's excellent.
And that's right. It's time for people to really look, are they helping themselves, their family members, their friends, their neighbors? The old days are done. It's finished. It's time for, I mean, this election has really taken everybody by surprise, because people are talking about America more than they're talking about anything else now.
Yeah, they're ruffling feathers.
We've ruffled feathers. I don't think we can go back. Whoever becomes president is not going to have an easy time. What do you say about that, Larkin?
Hi, good morning, Michael and Mark. Good morning. And I imagine Rich is on there. Henry, good morning. I've already spoken to Henry, and to all of our listeners, good morning. I think you both hit on a very, very important point. I think it shows up in the election. This election cycle is just about as bizarre election cycle as we've had in a long time. And I think what Mark is seeing and what Mark promotes and what he has seen in the last couple of days makes one very, very powerful comment that if politicians don't figure it out, they've got problems. America is sick of the status quo.
Absolutely.
They are absolutely had enough status quo to a point that I saw the other day. It's not the first time I saw it, but it brought back a big thought to me. A guy had a Trump sticker on his window of his pickup truck, but on his bumper, he had a sticker that said, "Re-elect no one."
Leave the seat vacant? Is that what he means?
No. He means everybody gets booted out.
Oh, everybody, very good.
Re-elect nobody. And you stop and think about it. I have never known this country, and I thought about this the other day, and I thought, I'm going to get my couple history books out and go backwards and see if I can find a time when this country was so terribly void of leadership. We have no leaders. Nothing. We have no leaders in Democrats. We have no leaders in the Republican side. We have no independent leaders. We are so critically void of leadership that it's not funny. So to heck with the status quo. Reelect nobody. Get them all out of there. Put everybody else in there. Let's go back to what the Constitution wanted, which was a citizen Congress and Senate. Let them serve 6 to 8 years and send them home, too. And give everybody a chance to serve the country.
And no pensions and no special perks. You go there like every other professional. You get paid to do the job, and you leave and let the next person come and share their ideas. What's sitting around and walking around there is old and stale. It has to be replaced. Larkin, what do you think about this is the time to start at least discussing a four-party system? You know what? We have Hillary, we have Bernie Sanders, we have Cruz, we have Trump. I think every one of them has something to offer, and they have a big gang of people behind them. This may be time for the American people to get a taste of the four-party candidate.
I'm not so sure about that. I think we do well enough with two parties if both parties are genuine. And there isn't a lot of payola, and each party has leadership. I just don't know that four parties is necessary. Here's what I think is necessary. I think we need term limits. I think we need to get away from this any more Congress people going in there broke and coming out with $15 million in the bank. And that's not just one congressman. I can retell that story hundreds and hundreds of times with Congress people who have gone in there and served 20 and 30 years and come out a heck of a lot richer. Not richer, wealthy, by virtue of the service that they gave to this country. So that all needs to go away.
Larkin, before I go to Rich, I think that unfortunately we don't have a criteria of what the person should be running for president. Unfortunately, a large number of the people that are running our country right now never had to meet a payroll like Mark or you did over the years and Rich did over the years and I did over the years. None of them had to do it. They were always elected. Uncle Sam was paying for all of their bills, all of their secretaries and assistants.
You know, Mike, I'd like to say my father had to drop me off today and drop my truck off, and it's always a treat to ride with him. You know, he says it how it is. But, he said, I don't think none of these guys ever were poor like he was. You know, they never lived, like we talked, paycheck to paycheck. They never were without. And I think it's that simple. That's the problem. They never were without.
You know, Mark, you're right. And the problem, biggest problem, is most of these people never always signed the back of a check. Not the front of a check the way you have to sign the front of a check and make sure that that person's able to be paid. When you don't have the experience of running a business and paying the bills, you don't understand what it is to pay the bills and keep people employed. So you do live in a la-la land. What I feel is we're watching right now is the unveiling of the long-cherished political process that's been surrounding elections for years. Now the party is over. It's like the emperor with no clothes. They're all walking around, finding where they can hide, but there's a big breeze in the room, and the big breeze is the American people trying to blow them out of existence.
So the other thing that we don't talk about and that we don't give any credibility to is the fact that just because we decide that this congressman from New York who started out borrowing $79 to buy a suit so he could get sworn in 40 years ago now is worth $15 million. You know, the problem is if you vote that bum out and you get him out, the next one that's coming in, if we don't make some genuine changes, is going to be served by the same staff. And those professional politicians that live on the Hill, make egregious sums of money with expense accounts, and our chiefs of staff over and over and over again. They're pros. That's what they do. And that's where that has to change also in order to get you know, strong chains in Washington, D.C., and get career politicians. You know, don't elect any career politician. Anybody that can say, I have done nothing in my life but be a politician. Out. See ya. Bye.
Goodbye. Rich, I know you're sitting there. Man, tell me. What, first of all, let's start with the four-party. The only reason I'm suggesting the four-party is that people are saying, well, I like this one and I like that one, and I'd like to have a choice between several people on election day. I agree the two-party system is good, but the four-party system really gives you an opportunity to make a choice, to have four people. As I said in the past, if you have four people negotiating at the table, if one leaves, you still have three people to talk. If you have two people leave, you have two people. But in the two-party system, if one leaves, you're done. Rich?
Well, guys, good morning. First off, to everybody and to our listeners, thanks for the nice words, Michael, in the beginning. I just want to reiterate a point to you guys that I've gotten more feedback on our last few months' shows than I have in since I've been coming on, which is now 3.5 years. So that's credit to you guys. Where to begin? Larkin, where to begin? You know, you went to the history books, and what you found is nothing like we're seeing now. That's what you saw. We haven't seen this, guys, before in our time. And this is what an active, participatory, little angry, really betrayed electorate feels like, Michael. This is what it looks like. And two parties or three or four, I don't have a number in mind. I tend to look at politics a lot like how I look at our free market and competition, and the consumers are going to have large says in this. We have other parties, right? We have other parties. We've seen major candidates run on other parties over the years. We've seen the Perots. We've seen the Naders. In the recent time, we've seen Libertarian candidates. We've also seen people who probably would rather have not run on a major party platform, like a Buchanan or a Trump or even maybe a Bernie Sanders, right, whose technical affiliation is independent but has to run on a party platform. So, guys, what we're seeing here, I think what we're seeing is a, I can't say full and total, because the Democrats, again, Larkin and me maybe have a point of slight disagreement on this point. I feel like Democrats don't have to work to get their votes. They don't. They work. They make. They do a whole show, Michael, to have it. They do a whole show. But when it really boils down to is that this primary, you're looking at Clinton now. She's not indicted. If she's not indicted, she'll still be the nominee. If Trump goes to the convention without his 1237, and he's probably not gonna. He's probably not going to. Well, right there, guys, I'm telling you now, you're poking a really, really angry beast if that happens. Because at this point right now, I don't think it's unrealistic, Michael, to say that so many of the millions of Trump voters throughout the country might just go third party.
So, in other words, Richie, we could be up to three parties. Then, well, if Bernie Sanders decides that he doesn't like the way things have been turning out and he's petitioned by his people, we may have a four-party.
I don't think so with Sanders, though, Michael. I don't think so. I don't think. I think that Bernie Sanders would support Hillary Clinton without a doubt. I mean, I might be wrong on this point. We'll see. Time will tell. I don't think he would, though. I think he'd show up at the convention, maybe. He would endorse her. And, you know, again, the Democrats would be on their merry little way. Hillary Clinton's been the nominee in waiting for 8 years. The people who were going to vote for her were going to vote for her no matter what. It's the Republican side, Lark. And you see, when you talk about the lack of leadership, which, look, you're absolutely right about this point. And I could, you know, Lark, and look, I could live with two parties if we were getting more times than not good quality. I understand there's no perfect candidate. If you want a perfect candidate, run yourself, right? You run because we always agree with ourselves, right? Run yourself or turn to your imagination. I understand this. Even in the years, Michael, that I've gone third party, and God knows I've gone third party a lot, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I even agreed sometimes at 50% of the politics of the person I voted for. But I trusted the person's integrity, and I believe the person had credibility even when we didn't agree. The Republican Party's problem is that, in my opinion, now Larkin may have a different opinion, in my opinion to the electorate, I don't think that the Republican Party has done much to show itself that different from the Democrats. So I think the electorate's mostly stayed home. That's what's happened, Michael. The electorate has stayed home. Remember, the Democrat voters, they always come out to vote. If there was a local election in your guys' city for dog catcher, the Democrats, the progressives would organize a campaign around the most progressive dog catcher. So what the hell you think they do with Congress and the president and all the other state and local positions? It's the Republicans. This is my opinion, Larkin. It's the Republican Party that over the last 90 months since Barack Obama got elected, they haven't had one person in the party to deliver a very strong sovereignty message, but more nuanced, more diplomatic. If they haven't had one, that's not good. That just isn't good.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think the Republicans have done a great job of either collaborating or, you know, pitching a second viewpoint on any of the major issues. And that's because there's no leadership. But Rich, I'd be interested in your opinion on this point, and I think this is just another example of a lack of leadership, and B, how deep the cronyism runs in Washington, D.C. But do you really think that these primaries are picking the candidates? Hillary Clinton loses in Wisconsin and actually doesn't lose much ground because of these
superdelegates.
Superdelegates that she has in her hip pocket. Do you really think that the Republicans aren't ultimately going to get to Cleveland and that the mainstay of the party is going to select a candidate? Here's my point to you. I said a year ago, Hillary Clinton won't be the Democratic nominee. I still stand by that. I think she leaves such an awful taste in everybody's mouth. I don't think she's going to be the nominee. I really don't. But I, at the same time, I don't think Trump's going to be it either.
Care to make it interesting, Larkin?
So you better get used to knowing how to spell the name Kasich.
Well, Larkin, you know, you're not – I mean, this isn't the craziest prediction. And when your point about, you know, the fact that you even asked that question to say to people, do you really think that the voters are choosing the candidate? And naturally, we'd say, well, isn't that the case? It's the voters who do it, right? So this whole thing has been laid bare and exposed.
Right. Now that people see what it's all about.
This whole thing, Michael, was just begat years ago. And I'm not a historian on this stuff. So I'm not going to give you a date and someone's going to say, oh, Rich, you're wrong. It was not the state. The whole thing was begat from the fact that you've got two major parties that have rather served to be buddies and in cahoots than to open up elections to make them more fair, more equitable, more accessible. And that ultimately is the free market problem in our elections. Because at the end of it all, Michael, the way it's – we say this person's not qualified and that person's qualified, that's up to voters to decide. I mean, that's how it's supposed to work in a democratic society. Now, I know what – some of the people listening are going to say, well, that's why we need, we need to be like this country, or you see, Rich, it's really a big scam. No. Because ultimately, I can still vote, Michael, however I want. I'm not restricted in any way. Even if there's someone not on a ballot, I can go and vote for that person, he or she. So where we're really, like, our flaw right now is in the fact that it's now publicly, see, the Republican Party isn't just, like, it's not like an underground thing where they're saying, oh, we're gonna take the nomination from Trump or Cruz. They're actively, publicly talking about it. I mean, that's pretty, Larkin, that's still a pretty good amount of arrogance.
Yeah.
And the Democrats don't talk about it the same way, but we all know that that's how they do it also.
Yep. I don't think the same question. Henry, you wanted to make a point.
No, I wanted to make a bet with you that Hillary Clinton's not going to be the nominee.
Well, she's... Okay, how much do you want to bet?
Let me just make a very brief point, and then I'm going to ask Mark what he thinks. You know, as I am in historic Philadelphia and I go on visitations, I have a chance to meet many people who come to historic Philadelphia from different countries, and they tell me this is the representative from this party, this is the Workers' Party, this is the Constitution Party, this is the Northern Party. Well, you know, each one of these people, they are in office right now. And some of those economies in those countries are doing a little better than our system of two parties. What I'd like to see, and I was going to ask all of you for an opinion. Suppose right now we took the label off Clinton as a Democrat, Sanders as a Democrat, Trump as a Republican, and Cruz as a Republican, and Kasich, and just put the five of them up on the ballot. Tomorrow is election day. No party, show us who you are. The best person agreed to by the people wins. That's what they do in some of the foreign countries, and I mentioned Poland because they have a good number of parties over there, and everybody has their voice active 365 days a year. In the two-party system, very often, you have the campaign is over, they go into the White House or to the House or the Senate, and it's over. You don't get a chance to see them. But when you have more people, they're more accessible. They all have a point of view. Go ahead, Larkin.
You think the Democrats and Republicans would stand still for as thick as thieves as they are, would stand still for a second to have a Labor Party?
Larkin, they should never, no person should ever allow you to be denied your rights to be on a ballot. That's what people come to America for. That's what people are... born in America, they want to realize their full potential. People are told, I can do anything. I can be the president of the United States. Why couldn't they try if they want to put their name on the ballot as the USA Party, the American Workers Party? We have come to a new turn in the way things are going in America. That's what I'm hearing from people.
Michael, I hope so, because... You know, guys, sorry, this is the one last point because I heard Mark in there. You know, we're seeing this. I mean, everybody's paid attention to this election so early. I mean, Larkin, I never paid attention to a presidential election this early. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking last summer. I mean, I was in Poland, and I was seeing news stories in Poland, and I'm thinking, like, wow, this is – I've never followed this early. And we're seeing now – reports out that Jim Comey, the FBI director, whom I have to at this time, I have to give him the benefit of the doubt, because he does seem to me, Michael, and strike me as a law and order guy above politics. That's the benefit of the doubt I'm giving him right now. There are published reports that he's going to interview Clinton and interview staffers. One of Clinton's main IT staffers was granted immunity. And in a really simple layman's terms, that means that even if this person admitted that he broke the law, he's given immunity from criminal charges, but he's got to spill the beans. And you don't give immunity unless you got a lot of beans to spill. Mm. So between this primary process where you have the parties, in particular the Republican Party, but again, it's both, talking publicly like, well, here's how we contest and broker the thing. And then you've got Clinton, where if she walks away from this, You know, guys, we are faced in the immediate aftermath and long-term future. The question in this country is, do we have democracy? Do we have one order? You know, do we have cronyism where some people are above the law? And these are the kinds of questions. I don't want to sound dramatic saying this, but these are the kinds of questions that make or break countries. You know, this country was founded, right, over a number of things, but it was founded to fight against a tyrannical monarchy, and it was fought because of taxation without representation. And embedded in the founding of this country, in the philosophy of the founders, was self-rule, self-regulation, self-governing. If the self part of that, meaning the electorate, cannot govern itself because of cronyism from the government, then we have bigger problems, guys, than we even realize. Mm-hmm. So we are witnessing historic times. I just desperately hope and pray that we come out on the right side of this. And I don't know. I mean, Larkin, you know, I hope you're right. You know, you've been saying that about Clinton for a long time. I truly hope you're right, because if people listening to this show, if their opinion is they think Obama's been bad, just wait till 8 years of Clinton. You know what we'll all be saying? We'll be saying, hey, you guys remember the good old days when Obama was president?
I hope Larkin's
Reagan,
right.
Larkin, but Reagan? No. We'll be saying, you guys remember the good old days? When Obama was the president? Oh, yeah, Michael, I remember those days. Man, those were great days. Wow, loved them.
Hey, Larkin, you know I like Bernie. I would like nothing more than to see Hillary get indicted, but it's not going to happen, so you're going to owe me beers at O'Neill's next time you're in Philly. I'm doing my free beer dance right now.
So wait a second. Just let me ask you a common sense question. How do I lose the bet and still get to go drinking with you at O'Neill's? That's not
because you want to have a drink anyway.
Because you're buying.
Yeah, right.
You're buying. Bring your wallet, buddy.
The fact that I have to pay, that means I lose.
Especially because I'm half. I'm gonna be all Irish that night, not half.
Okay.
Well, I want to say this has really helped a lot of our people understand. And as I said a few minutes ago, every person in America could be anything that they want to do and anything they want to be. They have that opportunity. That's part of the American way. So if we have to get to the point of 10 parties or 20 parties, as I see happening in some of the more progressive countries of the world, maybe that's what we have to do, because maybe our system is stale. What do you say, Mark?
Yeah, Mike, did you finish your question? Were you going to say the five candidates running, if they were stripped of their, you know, parties?
Stripped of their parties and put them up on the ballot, and let's see who's going to get the most people out. And the best person wins. No party, no this, no that.
It's funny, and looking back at the five, if you strip them of parties, Hillary to me is a robot, you know, says whatever people want to hear, says the same thing. You could go wave your arm through her and realize she's not even there. And, you know, Kasich kind of has done things like Larkin says, you want somebody that's a doer, or Trump's a doer. You know, all these things would be chosen. It's funny. You do need somebody to go against the grain. You do need somebody to break up Washington. You can't go, as we're going, like we say, you know, right now, every day. We have to have change. And I think we're seeing change. We're talking it on the show. Look at how much we've changed. So it's great, but we just got to keep this going. And I hope it gets heated up even more and more. And I think the more people see what's going on, they're kind of showing what's going on to everybody and how it is crooked, how it is fixed, how it's been the same. And I think that's helping people get involved. I see it even around here. They don't like a Republican can't or a Democrat can't vote for Trump, or here when they come to New York. They don't like that they can't vote during the primary.
They should have an open election
everywhere. Yeah, I'm hearing that lately, and I wanted to get your guys' opinions on that, because that's bothering people in New York.
Well, we've been talking about that for some time. And see, that's the way the parties maintain control. And that sort of got stale, because people, look at how many people just in the state of Pennsylvania changed from independent or Democrat to Republican, or vice versa. They, an enormous amount of people registered and re-registered for this election. Never before have we seen anything like it. But I have to say, as a result of conversations like ours taking place today and every week during the broadcast, tens of millions of Americans are now joining our campaign, and it's helping American workers, it's helping American-based businesses, and more people are active, participating in what's going on around them, which will improve America's economies. You know what? I want to tell you something. Every economy and every city, state, and throughout the whole country, we've suffered because people depended on elected leaders to represent them. They didn't do that well enough. They dwelled in the job. And it's without question, guys, it's going to take a lot of time for us to restore jobs to the level that we need them here in America with America's growing population. But everybody I talk to says we've reached a point in America that unless we take action now to get our jobs back, we're going to be faced with a nightmare in the next 5 to 10 years. And the people are feeling that about jobs. They're also feeling that about politicians. They're saying it's the same story. As soon as the election is over, all the candidates are forgotten about, and we just move forward. That's not good. We have to keep the ball rolling.
We don't move forward. That's the problem. We ultimately end up forgetting what was said, or you know, not holding our politicians. I hate the word politicians. I'd like to declare my favorite candidate statesman, and I can't find a statesman currently serving on the federal level at all, anywhere. Not one single statesman.
Isn't that a shame, Larkin?
And you know, Mark, you see, and you're in the movement of working with businesses, trying to get that label out there. We've asked this question many times, and I ask the people that I speak with in my travels, I say, could you tell me who is the most important person in the government that we can contact to be on the radio show that's really doing the most to restore industries in America and jobs? And they don't know. They don't know what to say. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of people in Washington. Yes, there's a lot of people in Washington, but none of those people are doing their job. Yes, Mark.
You know, I just think if you look at it like a big flywheel spinning, you know, the country and the economy and everything, it's moving, but, you know, the bearings have worn out. There's nobody stopping this flywheel to repair it. It's funny. A lot of people these days don't even want to listen to the facts or watch what's going on. We're in a very tough economy right now. I'm living it. I'm in the oil industry. It's very slow, but people just forget about it. It's amazing how they kind of go on with their lives and just expect it to keep rolling. This is what we're asking. We're asking people to get involved and really look into this election. We say all the time, we need leadership. In Larkin, you just said, and Rich, you know, we need leadership. We need a plan, but who bothers to write down a plan? So they're going to talk all this talk, but we need these 10 or 20 top priority items addressed once they're in, right?
You know, guys, for decades, and every listener tells me, and every listener knows, we watched America's manufacturing base be relocated overseas, and we said very little about it till now. We saw trade agreements enacted that they really looked like they were going to do something, but they took more jobs out of America than they brought for American workers. And by the way, another thing which is almost unbelievable, we watched school districts across America downsize or even eliminate the trade programs and industrial arts programs that teach skills that are really needed by every sector of America's businesses. And most of all, every time I hear that they created 200,000 jobs in America, I get furious because every month, especially in the baby boomer generation, every month 300,000 people retire, 10,000 people a day. So we're not even replacing. If we replace 300,000 jobs a month, that would be one for one. But when they announce with pride, we are very pleased, the stock market is overjoyed that we created 200,000. And then they say, well, with 300,000 retired, a lot of those people are the skilled trades people. And Mark, you know it better than anybody. A lot of the places you're doing business with, the age level is up in the 50s and 60s, not the 20s and 30s.
Right. You know, and what I love about the Made in America, not only my stores are buying Made in America, again, it's a good feeling. People can go out tonight, today, tomorrow, and buy a Made in America product. And we joke, you know, that's how you get your potholes fixed, right? But your taxes, your money stays in the country. I got a nice, we're looking for vendors always to join the store. So I had a vendor, we found a nice product, and I won't say what vendor yet, but they didn't, it wasn't 100%. The screws weren't 100%. They couldn't be in the store. But my buyer, Rob, asked, could you put the screws in a certain product? Well, we have for Walmart. For one product, but they have an exclusive. So my buyer, my brother-in-law Rob, got all offensive and said, nothing should be exclusive. What we're doing is Made in America. You should sell to everybody that's 100%. Why would you have any exclusive deal for a Made in America product? So that was kind of something we never ran into, Mike, yesterday. We want everybody to change their products because, you know, we talk about all this stuff on a show, but what really works is making products here, building the supply chain like you talk about, Larkin, getting back to the basics here. And that's what we have to do. So I think we're on the right trail. The talk is good, but there's so much change this year that needs to be done.
You know, just we've talked many times about the clothing industry. If we went to an auditorium and said, okay, everybody start looking at the tags on your clothes, take off everything that is not American made, I'd hate to see what the auditorium would look like. There'd be more clothes on the ground than on the people. And this is where the problem is. When I talk about national leaders, they watch these buildings closing up. They watch these jobs moving overseas. They went to receptions. They filled themselves up to the brim with the goodness of shrimps and cocktails and everything else. And yet nothing for the people who are in the communities that have to pay the taxes to keep the government wheels rolling. So this is why it has to come to a great big halt.
And that was the angle of the news attacking the service stations along the thruway. What, you got a 400 or 500 mile stretch of the 90 through New York? All these service stations, the national leaders should make them have at least 50% Made in America products. If they're promoting with all these commercial and their marketing on how they're local, grow business here, support the livelihoods, then they've got to do their part.
Absolutely. I urge people, I say, spend more of your hard-earned dollars on stuff made in America and you'll see a big change. Those assembled. And by the way, if companies want to come from other nations of the world and open up factories in America, we love it. Come right over. We've been doing that, sending our people to buy businesses in other countries. Come on over to America. Come on down and let's employ American workers. The party has to come to an end sooner or later. Otherwise, the people fall asleep at the tables.
Well, Michael, if I can just say, I don't think that, you know, Larkin and Mark, you guys, I'd like to hear what you think about this. I don't think that the electorate on average has, I don't think the electorate, Michael, would disagree about lack of leadership, perhaps wouldn't disagree that the two parties just simply resemble each other more than they don't resemble each other, but they've just stayed home. See, the thing about the electorate is there are people I know who stay home. And these people are not, let's just say I wouldn't call them Democratic voters, you know, the sort of progressive Democratic voters. You mentioned the word progressive before, Michael, and I got to tell you, I think the Democratic Party has totally adulterated that word and corrupted it, but that's a whole other conversation. The people who stay home, I think they're mostly a mix of independents, conservatives, libertarians, probably down the middle, Democrat and Republicans. You know, Jim Webb Democrats, Larkin, I'll even go further back, you know, Reagan Democrats. So the electorate, it's now, though, Michael, it's now that this electorate is coming out. And whether or not one likes Trump, it's fine. There's a lot of people who like him and a lot who don't like him. And what I'm going to say is not necessarily to be construed as support for him. But one thing that he has done that is undeniable is he has awakened a very pro-sovereignty beast in the country right now. He has. And that's what I say, Larkin. I just, if I were looking at it from the Republican Party's perspective, I wish that it wouldn't have taken someone like a Donald Trump to have put that issue of sovereignty at the forefront, but woulda, coulda, shoulda. And it's what we have right now. But I don't think, Michael, there's really disagreement with the electorate on it. I think them staying home is confirmation that there is an agreement on this.
And so that's a warning to everybody to make sure you're ready to get out and vote in November. There should be no excuse. You're given notice on the 6th day of April. Be there the first Tuesday of November and vote. The thing that I mentioned earlier about, and I'm going to have a little get together this weekend with the job situation. People say, well, we are, I heard it announced that there's 200,000 jobs created this month. I said, you have to understand, listen to the facts and the figures. They don't lie. Numbers don't lie. If you had 200,000 new jobs per month, that would be 2.4 million jobs per year. Yes, that's right. I say, okay, that's fine. In 10 years, you'd have 24 million jobs. Can you tell me why our population has gone up and our job base has gone down? If we're creating the jobs, we're seeing people retire. They die on the job. They get sick and they leave. Those are the jobs being replaced. But the news media does not want to report the facts. They like to dance around. If they took half of the time that they use to backstab and, you know, try to get their message out and used it to help this country get on its feet again, bring back our manufacturing, enlighten people that they have to go out to create a demand to bring new jobs about for our people. The Great Recession opened the eyes of the American people. Now it's really important for them to look forward and help to create the demand that Mark talks about so often for made in America products so that we can create more jobs. If we can just reach the 50% balance, can you imagine if you had 50% of the stuff in your store available with a made in America label, think how many millions of more people could be employed. It said to me, which I'm not saying it's a fact, but it said to me that the clothing industry alone could restore 14 million jobs in America. And I believe that because that goes from the people making the items, people packing the items, advertising, selling, shipping, the whole deal. I believe that is true. That's only 50% of the clothing made back in America again. It's a disgrace when you look at a label. I've seen those shirts, I love New York, made in Taiwan, made here, made there. Why is that? If they had a shelf, it said, these are the American ones, these are $10 a shirt, these are the foreign ones, they're $8 a shirt, I would choose the American one, but I would want that choice.
Yeah, you know, yeah, in the last couple of weeks, I've had some really good interviews, and no one can believe that we have nothing that plugs in still. And it really stops people in their tracks. The United States will make one item that's 100% made in America that plugs in? No. Or it takes a battery. I think that's incredible how out of balance we are. And lately it's been stopping people. Like I said, it really turns their head.
Absolutely. Everybody is hearing it.
They can't believe it.
America. A little bit more is being said by the candidates. And Larkin, if you look back at past elections, how many elections, how many campaigns, how many debates focused on issues the way they're focusing right now? Have you seen it like this?
Yeah, no, not as certainly not as a wide and of a variety of subjects. There's no question.
Because they're going after the American people who are hurting. They don't have any money in their pockets, and they know that they're not going to have money in their pockets tomorrow.
Well, we have a terribly large disenfranchised population. There's no question of it, and nobody is addressing those people. They keep on talking about the middle class. Well, guess what? If I drive around St. Augustine, I'm seeing the middle class, and they're not doing so terribly bad. They really aren't. It's the lower middle and the lower class that are really completely disenfranchised at this point.
I agree. I agree with that, Larkin, but if you had enough jobs in every city and state, half of that problem would be eliminated.
No, it would be, Michael, and I think jobs are the lion's share of the answer. But I really don't want to forget education. I mean, we have just created in the last 15 years just about as dumb a population as I think we've ever been. I don't think we've ever been this low on anybody's totem pole as far as education is concerned. I mean, we're 34th in science and the world and like 41st in math. And it's just, what we've allowed to happen to the educational system in this country is a crime. It's not only teaching them a trade, but it's preparing them to function in society. And we're just not doing that. We're just not even.
Sorry, Larkin. I'm not laughing at you. Prepare for society. Ivy League schools have tummy rub safe spaces. Ivy League schools, Michael. The most competitive schools on the planet. Tell its future leaders that if you need a tummy rub because somebody said something to offend you, let's get a little safe space where we'll serve donkey cheese and organic chai lattes with organic, raw, unfiltered goat milk. Ready for society. Larkin, that must be your April Fool's joke 5 days later.
Well, that's what you obviously weren't listening. That's what I said we're missing.
We're not these kids. No, you're right, Larkin. You're right. No, and Michael, our listeners, just a simple Internet search, they could find some of the wonderful things being done in some of our schools. Actually, right here in Florida, Larkin, there was a story yesterday. I think it was in your neck of the woods. I'd have to double check this, where some of the teachers were handing out to middle school students a sheet to check off their privilege. So you checked off if you were white or black. You checked off if you were a man or woman or not sure. You checked off like nowadays you're not. Sometimes you're not sure, right? So now you got to. This is handed out in schools. You could also, Michael, our listeners can also go and find some of the other fine things in schools where elementary school kids are taken to Black Lives Matter protests, where some parents walk into a history class and see drawings of cops dressed as the KKK. Education.
Yep, I see the point, and I see it happening. I agree 100%. Where are the boards of education who make the rules and regs? Where is their minds? I mean, they themselves don't care because they got to where they are because they got a good education. But are they looking back to see if the people they're supposed to be governing are getting what they got? Not many of them.
They're living under the pressure of political correctness.
That's right.
Is what most boards of education are doing right now. They're living under the pressure of political correctness. And, you know, that's another one. I mean, it's an issue that we haven't brought up yet today, but you can't get more politically overcorrect than this country is right now. It's stupid. But so much of what we do is stupid. My wife calls it the dumbing of America.
It is the dumbing down of America. Before I
good job of it.
Before I go on, I just want to let you know that some of our advertisers are very pleased with what we're doing because people come into the stores and when they contact them, they say, "I hear about you on American Workers Radio or during our daily shows or our Saturday or weekend broadcasts." I want to say thank you to the Net Cost Market. They have two locations in Northeast Philadelphia to serve you. Also, the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union has banks, and also you can bank on the internet. Visit them at psfcu.com. And our friends and supporters at the Sugar House Casino welcome you to visit the casino, open 24 hours a day at 1001 North Delaware Avenue. Visit them at sugarhousecasino.com. And Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, wishes all the very best, as does everyone from Serena's Auto Body Shop with two locations in Philadelphia. And Mr. Frank Spula from the Polish National Alliance wishes you the very best, as does Michael Steinman, attorney at law, and Dr. Eva Maczak, who is a great dentist with two offices in Philadelphia. Also, best wishes and thanks for supporting American Ways and all of that we're doing to make our way become part of the American way, from everyone at Polka Deli in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, and the Polish American Travel Service at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. Also, best wishes from Martin Bednarek and everyone from the Washington Savings Bank, as well as from Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, and also from Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the PNA. And I want to remind all of you to check out Mark Andel's store, where you will find 100% of everything sold at the store made here in America. We need to get more stores like that up and running, and even get supporting Mark's supplies in some of the stores that we have that are not 100%, but can offer us little section of American-made products. And also, check out the front page of our internet site, where you will find the debt clock. You'll be able to listen to our rebroadcast 24 hours a day. Go on that site, check it out at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, as you can see by the clock on the wall, it's time for final comments. Let's start off today with Rich. What do you have to add?
Well, guys, another, if I may say, I mean, Michael, this is professional talk radio quality stuff, guys, that we do. I'm telling you, I mean that, too. And thank you to everyone. I just want to make a note, Michael, that, like I've been saying, and I want to say here, don't listen to the polls. Don't listen to the parties. Just get out and vote.
Absolutely.
You're
given enough notice to make sure you're available the first Tuesday in November. Whoever your choice is, make sure you're there. Mr. Connolly.
Yes. I want to make a personal comment, and that is to inform Mr. Andel. I sent him an email the other day that I will be in Buffalo next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I would expect to be graced by his presence. And depending on what time my plane departs on Wednesday, maybe Mark and I'll do the program together for the first time since he's been down to the studio. But I want to see some stores, and I want to take you and your wife out to dinner on Monday night.
Sounds good, Larkin. I'm going to give you a call on that. We're going to get you some wings in Buffalo, I think.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Larkin, you buy beers for Mark, and that doesn't count for our bet.
I know it does.
It doesn't resolve that.
Mark, what do you have as your final statement?
Yeah, no, I think we're all point on, and like Rich, you know, the show has been awesome. But I think, you know, these who's ever running to be our leader and commander in chief, I'd like to see. I want a Rebuilding America package launched. I want tax advantages in it, 50% products made here. The equipment has to be bought here. Low interest loans so we can get loans, training and education. And the goal is to create jobs. And if you sign up for this, you've got to do all them items. And we need that package. Let's rebuild America, and we need to make it happen. And people sign up for it.
That's right. And the next president of the United States, after the election, that's when the real job has to begin. No more going to the White House and sitting back and doing nothing. We already saw decades of that. Now it's time to get out on the stump. Think every day of the week is a campaign day. Every day is a week to promote American made. Well, as I said earlier, the Great Recession really opened our eyes. Now it's really important for all of you, all of our listeners, all of our supporters to go out and support America, because America is first. It's the country where you live. It's the country where you will have to make your living, and you'll have to raise your children, be with your families, and enjoy your life. So please do spread the word. And as I said earlier, when you get your email this afternoon with a rebroadcast, make sure you email it around to family members and friends so that we can continue to spread the word. Larkin, Mark, and Rich, and Henry, thank you for another great broadcast. I will be out and about this weekend. I'll be looking forward to seeing many of the people. Thank you for spreading the word. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish all of you the very best.
Have a great week, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Great week.